Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, The Song of the Bee, Text Number 7. Nishvam tajamti ganika akalpam nipatim prajaha adhita bija acharyam ritvijo tata dakshinam nishvam tajamti ganika akalpam nipatim prajaha adhita vidya acharyam ritvijo tata dakshinam
nishvam
tajanti ganika nishvam. One without any assets. Chajanti, abandon. Ganikaha, prostitutes. Prostitutes give up men who don't have any money. Akalpam, incompetent. Nipatim, a king. Prajaha, citizens. Citizens give up a king who can't look after them. Adhita vidyaha, those who have completed their education. Aracharyam, the teacher. So the students leave their teacher when they've got their education. Ritvija, the priests. Datta, the sacrificer. Who has given. Dakshinam, their remuneration. When the priest gets his dakshin, then he goes. Prostitutes abandon a penniless man, subjects an incompetent king, students their teacher once they have finished their education, and priests a man who has remunerated them for a sacrifice. Kagavita phalam briksham bhuktva chatitayo griham tagdham rigas tataranyam jara bhuktva ratam striyam. Birds abandon a tree when its fruits are gone. Guests a house after they have eaten. Animals a forest that has burnt down, and a lover the woman he has enjoyed, even though she remains attached to him. Iti gopyo hi govinde gatavak kayamanasaha krishna dute samayate hudave chaktalokikaha gayantyah priyakarmani rudantyascha gatariyah tatya samsmitya samsmitya jani kaishora balya yaho. Thus speaking, the gopis, whose words, bodies and minds were fully dedicated to Lord Govinda, put aside all their regular work now that Krishna's messenger, Sri Uddhava, had arrived among them, constantly remembering his activities. Constantly remembering the activities their beloved Krishna had performed in his childhood and youth, they sang about them and cried without shame. Purport. The word balyayoho here indicates that ever since their childhood, the gopis had been completely in love with Krishna. Thus, even though social custom dictated that they not reveal their love to others, they forgot all external considerations and wept openly before Krishna's messenger, Uddhava. Mm. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhanantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Jinatarinam. One of the characteristics of love in separation is that, I think you just turned it right off now, so it's not working at all. Just open the door up. Let me have a look. Those two knobs on the top amplifier, where are they resting? No, on the other side. They should be around about 12 o'clock. And the one above the mic, where's that going? That should be around about 1 or 2 o'clock. Is that all right? Okay, now just turn up the other one, the main one. Yeah. You know what you could do? You could go to the theatre and get the other microphone, which has been taken over there, and get the mic stand as well. And bring it back here, because that's probably the better of the two. And Chetan, do you reckon you could get me the Anchalila volume 5 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? In separation from Krishna, when the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna, then a variety of emotions becomes manifest in their behaviour. And so consequently then we find contradictory elements in their behaviour. So at the moment we're finding that the gopis are criticising Krishna. He's gone to Mathura. Now he's being treated like a king in Mathura. What need does he have for the residents of Vrindavan? Now that he's associating with the beautiful damsels of the city, then why should he be interested in the simple Braj Basis, the girls of the gopis, the country girls? Unsophisticated. And so then, previous verse, yesterday's verse, it's mentioned. A person's friendship, when motivated by personal interest, is a pretense when one's desires are fulfilled. Right? Friendship with others is friendship so long as you get what you want. Then once you've got what you want, you abandon your friends. This is what they're saying. This is what they're saying about Krishna.
Krishna has gotten what he wants from us, and now he's abandoned us just like an ordinary person, like an ordinary mundane. And so what they've done is they've... What did you do? Huh? Oh, there you go. Just put it together properly. It always helps. So then what they're doing here is they explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Dipa Nyaya. They're throwing some light on what they mean by giving some examples. Just as a prostitute abandons a penniless man, subjects abandon incompetent king, etc. So they're giving all of these. They're clarifying their point. And so there's an element of anger, if you like, and criticism. Now that doesn't mean that they don't like Krishna or that they don't love him any the less. You know, in fact, actually, Krishna appreciates this behavior. Everybody appreciates this behavior of the gopis. They're not actually criticizing Krishna. They're just feeling the pangs of separation, the pain of separation. And of course, the real purpose for Krishna's separating himself, apparently, from the gopis is simply to enhance and increase their affection for him. So every morning, the Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, every morning the gopis would rise and go to Nanda and Yashoda's house to see Krishna's mother and father, and by seeing Nanda Maharaja and Yashoda, they would become enthusiastic and enlivened because it would help them remember Krishna. And this is one of the reasons why we see conflicting elements of behaviour in the character of Srimati Radharani, for example. On the one hand, she's feeling great affliction from not being able to associate with Krishna, but then when she sees Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, then she becomes enthusiastic again because she remembers Krishna. That's utkanta, enthusiasm, but then distress and anxiety because Krishna's not present. So on the one hand, enthusiasm, on the other hand, distress and anxiety. On the one hand, humility, great humility and submission. Krishna, I am yours. Dudayavam idrisham ihajani nanuraganaha. This is manifest by Lord Chaitanya's prayers, especially in the Sikshastikam, because the Sikshastikam encapsulates this mood of the gopis, as it is relished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on the one hand, there's submission, aslisyava padaratam panastumam. Whatever you do to me, whether he crushes me by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me, he's completely free to do anything. So on the one hand, there's this great distress, but then on the other hand, great jubilation and enthusiasm. Or on the one hand, there's submission. Krishna, I am yours. Whatever you want, you can do with me what you like, but then on the other hand, anger and dissatisfaction and criticism of Krishna, why are you doing this to us? So it's a jumble. And so therefore we see, especially in this next section, we see what appears to be craziness. It's transcendental craziness, because there's a mixture, an overlapping of these different moods and mellows, feelings of Srimati Radharani. This next, the song of the bee, is spoken by Srimati Radharani. This chapter is called the song of the bee. Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book. One of the gopis, and then the purport it mentions is Srimati Radharani is referred to in this verse as Kachit, a certain gopi. So this explains why it's contradictory. The behaviour of a devotee appears sometimes to be contradictory. And it's difficult to fathom. Not easy to understand the mind of a devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, it says it's impossible to understand the mind of a devotee. So therefore we shouldn't judge them. A pure devotee, that is. There are different types of devotees. Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. There are pure devotees and there are those who masquerade as devotees. So actually we have to differentiate between them, but when it comes to the pure devotees, we may not be able to understand their motivation in doing things. So when it comes to the gopis and these talks, on the one hand we'll see criticism of Krishna, an apparent dislike, I don't want to see you ever again. And then on the other hand, complete submission. Krishna, whatever you want, I am yours. Do with me what you will. So in this discussion here, we're seeing the criticism. So they give all of these different examples. But what we can understand is that the gopis, when they're criticizing Krishna and they say, we don't want to see you ever again, actually it's the sign of attachment. Just like there are two sides of the coin, attachment and rejection. Right? But actually they're the two sides of the coin of attraction or affection. And we see that in the dealings of the gopis with Krishna, even in ordinary dealings. You know, the wife will say to the husband, I never want to see you ever again, I think I should go and live by myself. You're only here to cause me trouble. And the husband's thinking, why did I ever marry you? You're not the person that I married, you've changed. But actually there's still affection, there's love and affection. It's just a sign of love, loving exchanges. And as is mentioned here, the gopis have always, it's not that, you know, they've just become young girls and suddenly discovered that Krishna is beautiful and attractive, but that they're always attracted to Krishna. When they're very young, they're devotees. And a natural symptom of a devotee is to be attracted to Krishna and Krishna's service. The gopis aren't interested in advertising their affection and love for Krishna. Ordinarily they wouldn't do it, they would keep it covered. But in this particular, and it's interesting, in this particular case, because Uddhava looks like Krishna, is wearing the same, he's wearing Krishna's clothes. He's got Krishna's garland on. He has the same bodily features, Prabhupada mentions. He has a sarupya, the same form as Krishna. And because they're feeling great separation from Krishna, then they can't stop themselves in revealing how much they love Krishna. And so they put aside everything, all their usual duties that they would perform, household duties, they just gave them up. Lokika, worldly affairs, they just gave them up. Their customary duties, they just gave them up. And they took Uddhava to a secluded place to hear from him. They figured, he is so much of a devotee, he must be Krishna's messenger, because look, he looks like Krishna, he's got Krishna's clothes on, he's wearing Krishna's garland. Let us hear what he has to say. And in their enthusiasm to associate with Uddhava, because he's Krishna's representative, then their emotions, their love, the emotions which demonstrate their love for Krishna are unstoppable, uncontrollable. And so they then glorified Gatavakaya Manasaha. They're focusing their minds on remembering Krishna. And then as a result of remembering Krishna, then they talk about him. It's a symptom of a devotee. Matsyita Makata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam. The devotee is always thinking about Krishna, and so therefore they're always talking about Krishna. So Gatavakaya Manasaha. Krishna dute samayate. They've come to, because they're absorbed in Krishna, then they're revealing their minds to Krishna's messenger, Uddhava. Krishna dute. That means the messenger of Krishna, Uddhava. We have the Vishnu dutas, they're the messengers of Lord Vishnu. They come and take the devotee back home, back to Godhead. Of course, you have Yama dutas who come to take the miscreants to the house of Yamaraj for some rectification. So, as a result of their love and affection for Krishna, then when they see Uddhava, they then start to sing the glories of Krishna. Gayantyaha priya, of their beloved. Karmani, rudantyaha, crying, they're crying. And in this way they realized, they revealed what ordinarily they wouldn't reveal. That for their whole life, for the whole of their existence, they have been completely in love with Krishna. It's not appropriate because most of them are already married. And have relationships with others, their families, their husbands, even their children. But in order to demonstrate their affection, simple affection for Krishna. They were unable to cover their ordinary worldly relations. They're unimportant to them. What is important is their relationship with Krishna and their service to Krishna. That's the most important thing for the devotees. It's explained by Krishna Das Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the devotees are really only interested in rendering service to Krishna, even if Krishna puts them in a difficult situation. And we see that here with the, even though they've been separated from Krishna and even though they're chastising Krishna, actually they're still completely dedicated to serving Krishna. That's why Radharani says, you know, you can embrace me or you can neglect me. I don't care. You're still my master. Even though sometimes she's chastising him and criticizing him. You know, you're just like a prostitute who leaves her client when he runs out of money. Because actually, you know, the gopis haven't decreased their love for Krishna. And it's not that Krishna wants to leave them, even. He's in Mathura because of his obligation to Vasudeva and Devaki. That's why he's gone to Mathura. He isn't actually neglecting them. And so, in these mixed up, jumbled up emotions, this craziness of the gopis, we see the degree of their involvement and the depth of their affection and love for Krishna. And we see the humility, their humility. That's like Radharani prays. It's my misfortune that Krishna has left me. It is my misfortune that I have been abandoned. Due to my fruitive activities and due to my desire to fulfill my own purposes, then Krishna has left me. This is her prayer. Right? It's a prayer of a pure devotee, actually. We can see the purity of the gopis in that, especially in Srimati Radharani, when Krishna leaves her or when she's feeling separation from Krishna, then deeply she feels that she's responsible for it. Although they're actually criticizing Krishna, it's your fault. But in their pure state, they accept the fault. This is the nature of pure devotional service. And of course, that in that mood of humility and accepting their fallen condition, then of course that's very attractive to Krishna. So because they're always thinking of Krishna in this very humble mood, then Krishna appears to them. Right? Krishna doesn't appear to the proud and puffed up. Sounds like my phone, but it's not my phone because I haven't got it in my pocket. Prabhupada gives the example of the Prakriti Sahajyas. They present themselves as being very advanced. But if there's some because they're concerned more about their own enjoyment. When there's some difficulty, then they give up the process of devotional service. We see that even in, this is also Kanishta Adhikari mentality. When there's some difficulty in devotional service and we're not able to enjoy it, then what happens? Rah, too hard. I'm fried. I'm not doing this anymore. Right? This is a Kanishta mentality. Or even, as is mentioned here, you know, when a devotee comes to Krishna with material motivations, when they get what they want, then see you later, Krishna. Right? I've got what I want, see you later. This is why, out of the four types of devotees, Krishna recommends that the best is the jnani, right? As opposed to the arto, jigyasu and artati, one who's in distress, one who's looking for wealth or looking for material benefits, and one who is inquisitive. Of course, it's mentioned, they're all magnanimous souls. But the better of them all is the jnani. Reason is because the jnani understands Krishna's superior position. And if there's some difficulty, he'll continue doing his devotional service because he understands, I should serve Krishna because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether I get what I want or I don't get what I want, or whatever difficulty might be there, I should still, because I'm his servant, I should serve him. Whereas those who approach with some material aspiration, then if they don't get what they want, they can be discouraged and go away, or they get what they want and then they're satisfied and then they go away. I've got what I want. Whereas in the heart of the pure devotees, like in the heart of the gopis, whether Krishna is with them or whether he is separated from them, it doesn't matter. I'm still your servant. And in fact, even in these words of chastisement, Krishna is actually is happy. Right? Krishna is actually happy being chastised by the gopis. He gets great satisfaction from that. And it's interesting to see the depth of Radharani says, if there is another gopi who will please Krishna more than myself, I'll become that gopi's maidservant and I'll serve them. So even though that may be distressing for me, I'll happily accept that distress as my happiness so long as Krishna's pleased. Huh? This is the nature of their love. So we're going to witness in this next 10 or 11 verses in the Song of the Bee the nature of Radharani's love for Krishna, even though we see sometimes she may even chastise or criticise, actually that is pleasing to Krishna. So even though it appears to be contrary to pure devotional service because it is in a negative mood, actually that negative mood is pleasing to Krishna. But we'll also see the positive side as well. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Mahatma.
Can you say another that in pure love there is more nagging?
Nagging?
Yeah,
in pure love there's more nagging? More than what other kind of love? I don't know, there's probably nagging in all types of love.
Well, if there is no pure love, there is separation.
Yes. And even though this is pure love and there's apparent separation, actually that separation just brings them closer. It's not actual separation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's that love that Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relish. Because as Krishna, he couldn't understand the mind of Srimati Radharani. And he was attracted to that. He's thinking, what is it that Srimati Radharani sees in me that makes her so mad after me? What is it? So even though Krishna is the knower of everything, he can't, as Krishna, know the mind of his devotee. But because devotional service is so attractive, then even Krishna himself wants to take the position of his servant to relish that mood and to experience the pleasure that she's experiencing in service to him. That's the mood of the Rath Yatra, actually. In the Rath Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is exhibiting the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, right? Calling Krishna back to Vrindavan. That's the symbolism, if you like, or the internal, esoteric meaning of the Rath Yatra. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of a devotee, is dancing and singing for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, who's also Krishna. There's actually two Krishnas. But Krishna in the mood of a devotee, and Krishna in the mood of Vrokaraj. But the residents of Vrindavan want Krishna to come back to Vrindavan, where they can relish their natural affection, love and affection that they feel for him. So Krishna is very attracted to that mood of devotion. What is it that Radharani sees in me that makes her so angry with me? Right? For one, that's one of the. Why is she so attracted to me? And that attraction is so powerful, that love and affection is so strong that we're seeing these sort of contradictory elements in the behaviour. And you see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's behaviour also, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. All of these different emotions would be manifest in his character also. That's why some people would consider him a crazy man. I think we should finish here. We need to congregate outside of Gopal's at 10:15 with little Jagannath, so we should have prasadam quickly and then get into town. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.